Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Okay, so let's talk about what is your biggest struggle with dating currently? Because I feel like your answer is really good. And yeah, it's a good starting point. So let's start with there.
Yes. My biggest pain point, I guess, with dating. I wouldn't say it's meeting men. I am on dating apps, so I do have the availability and the option to meet men. Mm-hmm. I guess it's less options than I would have thought being in a big city, but, you know, there are times, if I'm being frank, with this dating journey, I have, you know, had 1 to 2 dates every weekend, like if I wanted to choose that. And so that's not really it. It always seems like something happens that it's just not a good fit. Whether I find out that we don't have the same convictions, or they're not involved in their church, or they just don't seem to take their faith as seriously, or we just have incompatible lifestyles. There's a whole list of reasons that it seems to just not pan out. And it's not always me deciding that either. Of course, they have to decide that I'm what they're pursuing as well. So I've had the flip side where they've kind of decided to call it off as well. So, I don't know how deep you want me to dive into that. That's kind of the 1,000-foot view.
No, but you bring up a good point though, because like as far as like lifestyles are concerned, because I feel like not enough of us pay attention to that. We focus a lot on like the spiritual side, which is obviously super important, you know, mm-hmm. but your everyday life has to line up on some level too.
So whether it's, you know, political or just how they feel about drinking or smoking or just all of those things, you know, it all, that if they want children, how they envision the family life looking, it's so many things seem to have to line up, and it almost seems like a miracle that people actually get together at this point. Maybe it's just me, but I'm like, all of these things have to align, and it has to be good timing, and ideally it has to be someone within my vicinity, and it's just, it's tough.
Yep. Preaching to the choir over here on that one.
So I'm like, I just don't understand how women find these men so quickly that they want to be in a relationship with, because I don't know. I'll go on dates and it just seems like I'll go like a year, sometimes years in between having an exclusive boyfriend, because I just don't find that person that seems to line up enough to take that chance on, I guess. So
That's a huge point too. Like that's me. Like I've had a lot of situationships, you know,
<Been there.
laughs> and it's just like, what are we? I don't know what we are, you know, and then finding that I get why guys ask this question. You know, how long was your last, you know, relationship or whatever? Because that is important to know. And it's also the question of like, well, how long ago was it? Also very important to know. But like for me, it's like, okay, so both of my long relationships were only a year and they were over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like, I personally feel awkward answering that question because I'm like,
you know, that they're just thinking like, why? Well, what's wrong with that situation? You know, you want to be vulnerable and open, but you feel like you're being judged about it too. Cause I've been there as well. My longest relationship was 11 months or so. And I mean, I'm happy to explain like when they ask why it ended, but, I guess it's kind of probably an oddity to be 30 years old and not have a relationship that's lasted over a year. So it's a big thing.
Same. I mean, and I'm almost 34. So it's like that, you know, and I don't mind, again, I don't mind sharing why they ended either. Both of them ended because they cheated. So, you know, it's like, that's another reason why I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship for a really long time.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Not that I haven't healed from that. It's just that is a caveat.
you know? And so that's something that I was like, yeah, I don't want to date because I don't trust people.
That's, I don't know how, if you mind me going off down that road, but
Go for it.
Trust is an interesting thing for me. Cause like, I know that there are those types of people that just, they're the type that will just give trust freely until they're given a reason not to trust. But I feel like I'm the opposite where I almost feel like just because I have met you and I haven't caught you in a lie or anything, that doesn't mean I should trust you. Like, I almost feel like that has to be built. And I mean, I don't want to use the word earned, but like, why should I trust someone that I've been talking to for 2-3 weeks, even a month, when I don't really know their character yet? So I guess like when I see examples of them maybe telling me something when it's hard to tell me and then they could have lied about it, or just, I don't know, just random things where I can see that they chose the route of integrity as opposed to lying about it or hiding it, or, and not even with me, just with other people, you know, that kind of like builds my trust towards that person. So yeah, people will just say, oh, you know, like they'll almost get offended. Like, you don't trust me. And I'm like, well, I don't have a reason to believe that you've lied so far, but like, no, I also don't trust you because I feel like I don't know you that well. So yeah, it's tough. It's very, very tough.
You bring up such a great point because I am that person that's like, I'm just going to trust you until you prove me wrong.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny that people are so opposite in that way. And I don't want to consider myself a negative or anything, but I guess I'm just like cynical sometimes due to experiences, right? Like I will let my guard down and trust someone. And like, did they really show me that they were trustworthy? I don't know that. So yeah. A little rabbit hole there about trust, but
no, it's a good rabbit hole. It is a great rabbit hole because I feel like we don't pay enough attention to that. For me, I'm learning to hold back and to not be so forthcoming with certain things, or not that I'm lying about it, but just like, you know, those, I'm having to learn that people need to earn, air quoting there, knowing certain things about me. You know? And it's like, I can be vulnerable, but I don't have to be vulnerable about everything right off the bat. And that's a struggle and a half.
Which is funny because even if I do have these quote unquote trust issues, I still am very open. Like, because I guess I don't see the harm in it. Like, I'm like, if this is going to turn into something, I guess I'll be thankful that I shared these sorts of things and you get more of an insight into my mind, and hopefully they'll do the same. But if it doesn't pan out, I'm like, well, sure, I told you about that traumatic event as a kid and I'll never see you or talk to you again. But like, I'd rather like take the chance, I guess, saying those sorts of things to someone else and like hoping that it builds towards something greater than not. So I'm like, well, what do I really have to lose, I guess, if this person knows this piece of information about me? It's part of who I am. And I don't know, I like to think you learn something from every dating interaction anyway, even if it doesn't pan out. So yeah.
Very, very true. Me is learning to not share.
We definitely all have our like levels of comfort, and sometimes I am like, maybe I don't have to share that much like on the second date. Maybe I can wait for like a month or something, or a little bit further. So it's tough to draw those lines.
it is the boundary is like, okay, where, you know, where do I share that? Because it's something that needs to be shared versus like, okay, this isn't that big of a deal, so let me just give you this little bit, you know?
Right.
And I feel like that's a thing on both sides of the coin, you know, for guys and women, or for men and women.
Yeah.
You know, like figuring out when to share that stuff. Because I know one of the questions, which I talked about this with other women, but you know, one of the questions is, would you date somebody with a porn history? Right. And so I know from experience with a lot of guys that that's something they're like, when do I share that? You know, and like, how does that come out? You know, and it's just, that is one thing there. It's like, okay, that's something that she needs to know. Like, are you too vulnerable too soon?
And it's so tough too, because there's the two sides of it, right? Where I'm kind of in the camp of, I'd rather get the big stuff kind of discussed pretty early on. And when I say big stuff, it's like faith, politics, stuff like porn history, sexual, you know, boundaries, those sorts of things. I like to just honestly, maybe a little too early, but then I keep thinking about who's to say if it's too early, right? But like sometimes in the first conversation, you know, phone conversation with a guy or even second, third, whatever, you know, we'll discuss these deep things. Because I guess I'm of the mindset, like, I'm not getting any younger. I don't want to invest time in something, not only time, but emotions, you know, like if you have these deep discussions, it's easy to feel like you have this false sense of like, we're so close. So I guess before I go down that trail of getting vulnerable and building this emotional intimacy, then I just want to make sure I'm on the same page of those sorts of deal breakers, right? So and I'm like, well, then we can kind of amicably split at that point. Like, hey, this is not compatible. Thank you very much. And yeah, so sometimes it's a little awkward being like, oh, I'm waiting to have sex until marriage. What about you? Like the first chat. But at the same time, like, hey, we're grown and I'm going to need to know this. So whether I know it now or four dates down the road when I like you a lot more. It's important to me to get that out of the way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I am that person too. Yeah. Like, and that's where like the oversharing can sometimes come in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But for me, it's like, okay, I would rather know because I, again, don't want to waste your time. Don't want to waste my time. Mm-hmm. I would rather us like figure this out sooner and then that way we can maybe keep moving forward or not moving forward and we can both move on to somebody else. Like,
right.
Yeah, so I get it. I'm the same way.
Yeah. And I'm just, I'm a very sort of direct person, I guess, where I'll just ask those sorts of things. Like pretty much if I'm wondering something, I'll just ask like, hey, what are your thoughts about porn? Like I've had this conversation with guys, you know, 2-3 conversations in, cause those things matter. Right. So, that might be, I guess I get in my own head of, am I being too direct?
Right.
But I don't know. I don't want to like change. And I kind of struggle with this too. And this is kind of another rabbit trail, but like, I don't want to change who I am, but I understand that I'm not a perfect person. And like, I want someone to help me grow as a person as well. So, so I'm open to like feedback and I like kind of constructive criticism from guys as I'm getting to know them, but you have to like balance the line between, is this feedback of something I can change for like a healthy reason and it will help me be healthier and in a better communicator or whatever the case is, or like, is this person asking me to like change part of who I am, you know? So yeah, it's interesting. I definitely get in my head about, am I too blunt or direct, or should I be asking these things right away? And I don't know exactly where I've fallen with that, but it is helpful to know to weed out people that aren't compatible. I've discovered that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And compatibility is huge. Being equally yoked is huge. Like,
yes.
Finding, you know, I had this situationship that ended recently and it was something at that point in time I didn't think was that big of a deal. Like when the question came up, I was like, really? Like, we're going to stop talking because of this. But then the more I sat with it, the more I'm like, oh no, this is a big deal.
Okay. Like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was like, this is a big deal for me. And that's probably why I was like, really? Like, you know, because their viewpoint on it was so extreme in the opposite direction that I was like, what? Like, how is this a thing? You know, because it didn't seem like it was that big of a controversial issue. But I know that some people have controversy around it. But anyway, you know, it's just kind of like those things that we can learn that we don't always realize are like a more of a deal breaker than we thought that they were. So
that's huge.
I know, it was so funny. I was talking to my girlfriends and I'm like, I can't believe that this is it, you know, like whatever, we were lining up on all these other things and like everything's great, you know. And then they were like, but no, this is a huge deal. Okay, it is. It is.
And it's good to have that counsel and those people you can bounce that off of too, because it is super easy to get in your own head. Like, am I overthinking this? Am I making this bigger than it is? Or is this actually, you know, I love having those friends you can call on, like, am I overreacting? Having that counsel. So, but sorry to hear that that ended, but I mean, it sounds like it's for the best. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and that was the other thing too, is it kind of lined up with something that was like an equally yoked situation where I was like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, this thing held such it was such importance to me, right? Because I was focusing on all these other things that were like the top of my non-negotiable list. Mm-hmm. But there was this other one that was down there that I didn't even know about. You know, and so it was good in that aspect. Yeah. And like then reflecting back on it more, I'm like, oh, we weren't lining up in all these other things either. Like I thought we were, but we really weren't.
Okay, and gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. See, hindsight.
Yeah. And when you're kind of outside of it, outside of the feelings as much. And you just take the rose colored glasses off. And Yeah, I don't know about you, but like, it's interesting because people will make posts about, oh, I'm so jealous of those women that, you know, got married, you know, met their soulmate in high school and got married or whatever. And I commented something along these lines, and I don't know exactly how to verbalize it, but like, I feel like I used to have such fewer like standards, I guess, when I was younger, you know, like in the type of men that I would like, I would just excuse so much more than I would as like an older woman. And I really don't think that, like, sure, I could have gotten married at 20, but we could have grown together, I guess, and changed together. But like, I've changed so much in the last 10 years. And the type of man that I dated during that time, like, is absolutely not the type of man, like the characteristics and just like the morals and anything that I would choose today. So I know some stuff can kind of get grown out of as people mature, but there are just those things that are like indicative of an overall personality and overall character that I like am laser focused on nowadays that I just would not have been before. So in some ways I'm thankful that, like, you know, I didn't maybe marry someone that I thought that possibly I'd want to when I was younger. But yeah, it's I don't even know how I got on that topic, but it's just it's an interesting thing to like to look at and just very glad that I don't excuse those sorts of things. Okay, that's how I got on, because you said things that maybe it was lower on the list of deal breakers, and the older I get, the more like non-negotiables I feel like I'm racking up, because I'm like, I'm learning myself so much better and finding my path in life. And I know that there are certain traits or just a personality of someone that just would not mesh with what I have going on. So
agreed. I actually shared that with a couple of the other ladies. I you know, was dating guys back then and in my early 20s and easily could have married any one of them. But looking at who they turned into now and who I am now, I know that God can work in all ways. You know, but I'm gonna be honest, it probably would have ended in divorce, because they're just not in, like, and I'm still friends, well, not friends, but I still know and like kind of see one of my exes around. You know, because our circles still kind of mesh.
Gotcha.
So anyway, so like I get to see kind of and hear kind of like what he's got going on and stuff. And I'm like,
this is like, thank you, God. You know, like it kind of sucks when you're looking around, you're single at 30, but it's like, it could be so much worse. You know, like I would much rather be single than married to a man that's not it. Just not good.
Just not it. Just not meshing. Like, not on the same page,
right?
You know, as far as like, that would be my one like thing is, I want somebody who obviously has like the same spiritual outlook, but their mindset on kids and how kids how they want to raise their kids and what that looks like is probably second in line to the spirituality.
It's huge.
And like back in the day, I didn't care. Like, I wasn't thinking about that. You know? Obviously, I wanted to be a mom, but I wasn't paying attention to the characteristics of the potential dad. You know what I mean? Like, what do you look like as a father? I don't know. We're 22 and we have no idea. You know? But now, that is like paramount to me. If you're not, one, if you don't want kids, two, one, if you don't want kids, you're just out, period. But if you want kids, what does that look like to you? And if we're not meshing up on how that looks, then I'm sorry, you might be a great guy. I might be attracted to you on all the other aspects. But if we don't line up on those two right there,
Yeah. Yeah. And then it has to be that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's huge. And that's, like you said, another thing that I wouldn't have considered when I was younger. So it's just like, well, I don't want to use the word picky, but it's like the older I get, the pickier I am, it seems mm-hmm. like. And yeah, you got to find that person who is better for you than being alone, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Points you to God. Because, you know, me and God can handle a lot. So the guy has to be quite compatible to change what me and God have going on by ourselves over here. So,
amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You better be on a certain level. Otherwise, we're not even talking.
Yeah. And it's so hard to explain that too, because I'm always worried, like, I never want to come across as I think so highly of myself and I'm on this high horse and this man needs to be this perfect, amazing man. It's not about that. And I know that I'm not perfect, but I also feel like the things that I'm asking for are also things that I would bring to a relationship as well. Mm. It's not like I'm trying to just ask, you know, a la carte, like build this perfect man, but there's these things that matter, you know? And it's like, I'm not going to settle or compromise on these certain things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the other person wants to call me too picky or too high standards or just too on my high horse. And I guess they're welcome to think that, but that's not what I see it as at all. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like when people get stuck in that mindset, it says more about them you know, the person that they're saying that about. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some people who are like that. They're too stuck in mm-hmm. their high and mighty ways. But
right.
I feel like generally that's not the case. mm-hmm. You know, just because we have standards and stuff doesn't mean that we're any less than or... Huh. You know, should be looked at differently.
I love that. Yes.
You're welcome.
Sniff it for the podcast.
Yes. I know, right? That part's going to get shared. Oh, man. It's just, it's a wild ride right now, you know, with just culture.
It's crazy.
Girl,
even Christian men, like, or men that claim to be Christian. It's, and you put that, you're looking for this? I don't know. Doesn't compute.
Right? I'm all like, guys get worked up on our checklists. And I'm like, some of them have like these insane checklists too. And I'm all, mm-hmm. okay, where's the grace in there? Where's the, I'm not going to put God in a box. You know, mm-hmm. like I had a conversation with a lady that I just got off with a little bit ago. We had a whole mm-hmm. rant about putting God in a box. And it was funny though, because she was like listening to these things and I'm over here like, I am sorry, God, I've been putting you in a box.
Yes, I'm totally guilty of that too. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. But then
go ahead. You go ahead.
It's hard because I know God can work in all these different ways. And it's, mm-hmm. I have put myself out there too, of like, you know, listening to the Heart of Dating podcast, like date the unexpected. Maybe this isn't as big of a deal as you think, like date maybe different than you go for physically or mm-hmm. Possibly personality wise, or like go out 2 or 3 times with a guy that you don't feel sparks with and all these things. And I have tried that. It's not for lack of trying, right? So it's hard to not get discouraged too, because you're like, Lord, I know that you are capable of these things. And I'm trying to be open to this here, but it's like, it's still not working out, right? So
yeah,
I guess just part of like your expectations, you just have to throw away. And then yeah, when it's right, then it's going to be right. But yeah, that's my 2 cents on it.
I agree though. And like, and the whole point of our conversation was like, what if those things are legitimate, like non-negotiables, biblically speaking, versus society's influence?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
that's a good one.
Oh, I was like, this is going to get good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. I haven't put a ton of thought into that one. It's a good thing to think on and just like look mm-hmm. in the Bible of like the traits of godly men, right? And like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe he doesn't have to look this way or do, you know, yep. have this sort of job or whatever the case is, you know, because, mm-hmm. okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is gold. I was like, girl, that's definitely going in the podcast. She's like, I know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It is. Yeah.
It was just one of those moments where she was just like going and I'm like, mm-hmm. Preach it out, honey. And then at the end, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because that was like, I couldn't have said that at all. Like, you know, and she was like, well, I don't even know where it came from. And I was like, ask God.
Holy Spirit. Thank you.
You know, and that's what I'm loving about this so much is just seeing where everything is kind of coming together. So anyway, but that whole thing, like, he keeps coming back to society. Like, I feel like our cultural influence, right? Because not only do we have like the general American culture, but we have so many subcultures throughout America too, you know, and it's just like all of those things are playing roles in how we're viewing the opposite sex and whether we look at them as somebody that was made in the image of God or we just look at them that as somebody that's pissing us off online. You know what I mean?
Love that.
So it's just, I'm like, I could rant about that one for hours.
I mean, I'd be curious to, like, I don't know, hear your thoughts on culture and how that has affected
me or just in general.
I don't know. Whatever you, I know, like, you're interviewing me, so we don't have to go down that rabbit hole. But I'm like, well, because there are a lot of different directions you can go in when you talk culture, right? So I'm like, well, I'm curious where your mind is with that, and then I'll.
Yeah. So my mind, like, not to get political, but we're gonna get political. So, you know, like when you look at the political sides of things, right? You got conservatives, you got middle people, and then you got liberals, right?
Yeah.
And we're all on the spectrum. That in and of itself is a huge, huge influence.
Yep.
Then if you have, like, if you throw in those of us who grew up heavy in purity culture, and then there's those of us who were barely touched by purity culture, that is huge in how, in my personal opinion, how we approach dating currently. You know, then you have like cultural things as far as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like ethnic cultures view things differently too. Right. So, you know, what marriage looks like in different ethnicities will play a role in how you're viewing it as, you know, that ethnicity in dating. You know, so there's so many, like, it's just a huge melting pot of things where, like, if we focus too much on this external stuff and takes out the, like, biblical principles of what marriage really is, and you know, add in feminism and add in you know, like the red pill guy side of things too, like, and that in and of itself is just you know, like, that's a straight up spiritual battle right there, in my opinion. You know, like, you, when you have that side of it, like, I am woman, like, I don't need no man. And then you have the guys where, like, well, my woman has to be this way and she's going to blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? No, like, neither one of those are biblical.
Right.
You know, and like, while they use biblical words as far as like submission on the guy's side and stuff, it's still not, in my opinion, still not how submission is actually supposed to work. You know, because there's that, like, respect thing.
Right.
You know, you have to be a man worthy of being submitted to instead of just expecting submission.
It's interesting that you say that, because, like, there are, on Christian dating sites, there's those men that say, oh, I want the very traditional view of marriage, and I want, you know, a woman to be submissive and all those things. And even though I know that it's godly to be submissive, and I do want to follow that and be a submissive woman, I'm like, in what way do you mean that exactly? Like, are you going to actually listen to me when I have an opinion? Are you going to respect my opinion, even if you don't agree with it? And even if that's not ultimately the route we go down, is it going to be a matter of, like, because I said so? Like, are you going to be like a parent to a child with me? Or so it's almost like a red flag when I see those, which is so sad to say, because they're just expressing interest interest for like a biblical marriage, but it's almost like I've just seen negative examples of that. And you, I guess when I see people put it that way, I always, which is wrong on my part, but I assume that they take it to the extreme side of things. So instead of having that conversation, I'm like, no, I'm going to swipe left on you because I'm, I don't know. I just, I fear that you would be controlling or whatever the case is, you know? So,
Yep. And as somebody who wants to be a traditional biblical wife, like I have had to have those conversations. Like, what does it actually look like to you?
Right.
And as soon as they come back with something that I'm like, no, you know, then it's like, okay, so we're not aligning on that, you know? And it's like, okay, you've listened to certain podcasts a little bit too much and you might want to go read the Bible. You know?
It's tough. Another thing that needs to be aligned that is not always aligned. So it's a big list, you know?
Yeah, it is. But that's just kind of like generally how I feel like culture is playing a too big of a role, in my opinion. You know, culture is important. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But like if we're taking things that are actually secular and saying that they're biblical, we've got issues.
Yeah,
you know,
that's very true.
So that's why I said some people need to go back and read their Bibles.
I totally agree.
And I think like too, I don't know if you've ever heard of this book, but I'm reading currently, it's called The Great Sex Rescue. It's a really great book.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it.
It's really, really good.
But book. I don't really know what it's about. So.
Oh, okay. It's really good. but they're like, so they're taking it from the perspective that all this information that has been out there for years and years and years and years and years, like leaves out like the key importance of women and how all of that works sexually for us. Right. Because like a lot of the books that are out there are all, oh, it's, you know, it's your what your duty as the wife to make sure that he has pleasure. And I'm like, wrong. I mean, it is, but it isn't, you know, like, and so, cause you, that leaves out us as women. Right. So I'm going to start recommending the book to like everybody. Because they come at it from a point of view of like, yes, this is important, but so is the woman and how all of that works for her. And like, what does that look like? And you can't have a, you know, a strong marriage without that working on both sides. And so I think that's another like cultural thing. You know, like if you look at purity culture, like I kissed dating goodbye, blah, 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 like all those other ones, those other books, that like focused on sex and all that stuff, like played a role in how I feel like us millennial-ish age group like view things like that, you know, and how it's important to take all that stuff with a grain of salt, you know, and like, and then again, go back to the Bible and look at what the Bible says about these different topics, because that's that's our, that is our thing, you know, and everybody that's interpreting it a specific way is still human and we can be wrong.
Is that book like Christian
based?
Nice.
Three,
I'll look into that.
Three different women. One's a one is the mother of one of the other ladies, and then their other like friend is doing it too. So it's really good. It's really
important.
Important topic.
It's interesting how it's like with the purity call, it's like I grew up basically like scared of sex, and then it's like you're supposed to switch from that to like you get married and then you're this like sexual prowess, right? Like you just are supposed to be sexy for your husband. It's like, how, you know, you have to learn those things. And if you have to overcome like a legitimate fear in your mind, or just insecurity, like all the things, then it's just, it's difficult. So yeah, I'd be curious to read that.
Yeah, they talk a lot about that. They talk a ton about that because the two other ladies, the younger two, grew up in purity culture. And so they have it from that perspective of like, you know, they had all these ideas about what things were going to look like. And then both got married and it was like, okay, all of a sudden we don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, and they also interview a lot of women and couples and stuff that you know, have dealt with issues. And yeah, it's really good.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So read about it before it becomes a reality for me, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's important too. Like,
yeah.
If we just had some knowledge before going into certain scenarios, I feel like it would be better.
Yeah. You know? Well, I will, like, that's not to say that I have stayed pure for my life.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess biblically, like what is it supposed to look like when it's right? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah,
that'll be a good read, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a good one. Yeah. And they talk all about all the things. I'm not even all the way through it yet, but I'm like,
this is a good book.
Okay. And it keeps your attention, huh? Because I there's so many books that I want to read and it's like, oh, this is supposed to be great for this topic, but it just, I never get through them. So
yeah, I feel like it keeps it enough. Like I've taken a couple of days off reading it, you know, but, mm-hmm. and like read something else and then kind of come back to it. You know, because it is a lot of information. They also have like check-ins that, like, if you're reading it as a couple, like, this is how you would check in on this topic, mm-hmm. Which is really kind of cool. So that's going to be a requirement for my future husband.
Yes. Yeah, I love that.
You have to read this before we get married.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, like maybe do it during like premarital counseling. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like that would be like a really good, maybe before, I don't know. We'll see. See how it plans out. But yeah, I think it's such a good thing to read because it just shares like all this knowledge that one, because again, purity culture, we were like, okay, you can't touch the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we're supposed to get married and touch the opposite sex.
Touch them a lot. Touch
you know?
In many ways. Yes.
Exactly.
And know what to do.
Yeah. And I'm like, I feel
okay.
like.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's ways to stay pure, mm-hmm. and also have this knowledge.
Well, yeah. Stay pure, you know? But not be like terrified. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally remember being a child when I was like 8. Possibly, and like being scared that like I was going to be at a party in high school and I would be tempted and like I would end up having sex and it would just ruin I don't want to be dramatic because I ruined my life, but like ruin a lot of things. I remember praying about it, like, oh God, like help me with any temptation, and like it's just, yeah, interesting to think back on. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. It's real. It's real for sure.
It is very, very real. It's just, it's sad. I understand the reasoning behind it, but it's sad when you look at how many of us are unmarried, mm-hmm. and have all of these issues related to what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
And yep. I also think that that was a spiritual warfare thing, but that's a topic for another day.
I was like, there could be like a whole podcast just on that, right?
But yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about spiritual warfare.
Yep. Spiritual purity culture, all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, Satan's not stupid.
Yep. Yeah. That's quotable. He's not.
Yeah. He's not stupid.
At all.
Mm-hmm. He knows exactly where to tempt and how to do all that. And
mm-hmm.
anytime he gains a little bit of ground, he gets excited. And I'm just
like, oh, yes. Stay away.
Get behind me, Sam. Yep.
Love it.
Oh, man. Good times. Anyway, I do think it's interesting that the majority of women have been saying, like, yeah, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Mm.
And I know that one of Bob's episodes, one of the guys was saying that. And I was like,
about women?
Yeah, about women. And I'm over here like, but see, we are literally all saying it. So
so there is the perks of being that direct communicator as well.
Mm-hmm.
but then you want them to be to reciprocate that and that kind of reminds me of pursuit and all that. There's so many, so many rabbit holes you can go down of like, what does pursuit look like? And does the guy have to be the pursuer? And if I drop the hanky, is that me pursuing too much? And it's so easy to just get in your head about all of that. And that's that could be a whole podcast episode, but
it could.
Yeah, it really could. But yeah, I understand that. I see that. Pursuit, it's interesting because I don't think it should be the guy does everything, right? It's and a lot of women have this idea that the guy like should be paying for dates. And I don't think that's necessary for a guy to pursue. Cause I try to see it from their side too and be very understanding that I'm sure it's tough on their end and to feel like they have to have the burden of like, showing the interest first, liking you first. Cause they're a woman that like won't even swipe right on guys until they know that he's liked them, right? Like they won't go out, they'll wait for the likes and then they'll decide to match sort of thing.
Yeah.
So so much of the guy like putting themselves out there. And then I guess I'm of the mindset of he doesn't owe me anything until like we meet at least once. Right. So like I don't personally understand the expectation of like he needs to pay for the first date. It's a nice gesture and I appreciate it. But like we still barely know each other and I'm not like owed a meal from him just because he thinks he might possibly be interested and maybe I'm interested. Like,
yeah,
but it's nice when they do like that is a way that they can pursue is offering those sorts of things or like planning dates or paying for things moving forward. But I don't know, personally, it's the expectation I don't love when it's placed on men. But but I think it's much more about just being clear and intentional and not leaving any doubt in my mind that they're interested or being clear that they're not interested. It doesn't take much. Like he doesn't have to write me all day, he doesn't have to be texting me all day, every day, but like, it's the little things where you know that he's busy and he still takes the time to, you know, take a minute and send you a text or just be very intentional with the time that he is taking with you and like remember things that you say and ask, like follow, you know, the questions that they ask back are very important and show that they're actually curious about you. And it's those things mean a lot to me. Just doesn't have to be a huge, big act or anything or grand gesture by any means. But just show like and not just words, but action, right? Like your actions. I know that you're busy. I know that you have this going on and your work is crazy or whatever, but you still took the time to make me feel like you prioritized me. It's definitely huge. So
yeah,
that's my two cents.
So basically it doesn't have to be a romantic comedy.
Right. Exactly. Like you can be a normal guy, but just act like you care and actually care about me as a human being. I like to think it's not too much to ask, but but then you got to give them, like, it shouldn't be only them, you know, extending, giving you all of this, right? Like you need to reciprocate back and show that interest back to them. And I don't think, you know, messaging someone first or anything means that they can't pursue you after that. Like that turns you into the pursuer. It's like, well, you give them a little bit and then you kind of see what they'll do with that. Right. But like to expect him to pursue you when you're not clear that you're into him as well is just unfair. And I think just as you get to know them, you learn how they feel cared for too. Cause there have been times I thought that like I was being obvious, that I was like showing the other person that I cared about them and I liked them and whatever. And they've had to straight up ask me like, how do you feel about me? What do you think about me? And I'm like, oh, I guess I thought it was obvious, but people aren't mind readers. Right. So just learning that telling goes a long way, just being upfront with how you feel, but like you have to have the action that backs that up as well. So
yes.
Yeah.
The intentional action. So that's come back up again, gentlemen.
Yes. It doesn't have to be a ton, but be intentional. Yeah.
But like, again, letting your actions and your words meet up.
They have to align, because I don't know about, I'm sure other women, but like we're very, I think a lot of us have been burned by men not doing that. So we have like hawk eyes when it comes to that. And we don't want to be played. And and I'm sure, you know, men, I'm sure it's the same for men too, but I can only speak to my experience. And we have an eye out for the words not lining up to the actions. So,
Yep. Because that turns into like a big yellow flag and then probably a red flag a little further down the line, you know, because communication is huge.
Oh, gosh.
And
yes. Then yeah. That could be a whole nother podcast episode too.
But girl, I already have one that's huge. Out. Yeah.
I have two.
I have two that I've already released on communication. And many women keep bringing up communication.
But I think it's you have to communicate about what communication means too, because it's easy for people to say, oh, I want a good communicator. But like,
what does that look like?
What does that mean to the other person? They might think they're doing great, but the other person's not receiving that. Like, they think that they're lacking something in the communication. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Communication about communication.
Because we all communicate differently. We have communication styles.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge thing. And it's like, even like the mode of communication or like the frequency of communication. Like there are people that are like, oh, you know, they'll ask questions about, should I, you know, this person's not texting me. Are they not interested? Or like, should I don't want to text too much. And I'm like, just ask. Like, I'm the type that'll just ask if I'm wondering something, like, hey, how do you see this? You know, it seems like we're getting along. Are you the type that likes to text throughout the day, check in at night? Like what is healthy for you? And that can solve a lot of issues or non-issues that you turn into issues in your head down the road. Yes. Overthinker over here. But
same.
yeah. So just don't leave that room for interpretation, and you can just ask. Yeah.
Yeah. That was gold.
Yay. Good. I had to end on a high note, right?
Yeah. That was perfect. I'm sure. Yay. It was funny. I was thinking, I'm like, we're going to end up back on communication at some point. Because we kept kind of skirting around it, but we didn't quite go there.
And right. I was like,
it's going to come back.
It's huge. Yes.
It is. So, it's so big.
And so many issues could be like, you know, what's the word, like nipped in the bud.
Yeah.
You just communicate and they won't even turn into issues. Yeah.
Yes.
Huge thing.
Yep. And communicate effectively, because again, we all communicate differently. And somebody's perception of what you're saying is going to cause more issues than not communicating about it. So it's like, you got to get that stuff out there too. Like, oh, well, this is what I'm hearing you say. I know that that kind of like touches in on like some people who have issues with therapy, you know, and whatnot, but I have that background. Like, my background is in psychology and social work. So I automatically like go there. And, but it's so
important. It's a very helpful thing to do. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a therapist thing. It's just like a good communication tool of like, this is what I understood that you said. Am I on the right track with this? Clear up any misunderstandings. Yeah.
This is like a general thing. Like, am I, because I'm getting frustrated by this, right? So, you know, am I interpreting this correctly, or is this something else I need to deal with internally? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's huge. Yep.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.